From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 21st, 2024, in Darlington, South Carolina, in my Dodge Durango.
Get out of here.
Ooh, yeah, that's a V6, not even. And before we get into the podcast, a live lead taping alert. Yes, folks, on October 30th in our studio in Columbia at 6 p.m., the taping begins at 6:30, but we're having our live taping, our pre-election show will be going on. There will be swag. You can meet us, you can ask questions, and we'll have some adult beverages for purchase as well as some food. The whole thing is free. You can show up, have some fun, meet our friends of the pod, Meg Kennard with the AP, and Mayon Schechter with South Carolina Public Radio. They will be on the show with us, and that is October 30th at 6 p.m. You need to RSVP at SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org/live-lead, LIVELEDE. We'll see you on the 30th at 6 o'clock. On this episode of The Lead, we are 2 weeks away from Election Day, and early voting has started in South Carolina, and we hear from voters from around the state. You can find locations in your county at scvotes.gov, and also in this podcast, we're looking at election security with Victoria Hansen, and hear what Senator Lindsey Graham had to say about Republicans voting for Vice President Kamala Harris when he was on Meet the Press. The Lead loves hearing from you. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. We need to know how you're feeling about the upcoming election, what you're doing for Halloween, what candy's in, what candy's out, if you do trick-or-treating, do kids trick-or-treat anymore, it's all trunk-or-treat. Let us know, 803-563-7169. Early voting is underway in South Carolina right now through November 2nd. And of course, you can always vote on Election Day, November 5th. Now, if you are early voting, you can only do that in the county you are registered in. And there are locations where you can cast your ballot early. You can find those locations by going to scvotes.gov. I cannot recommend you going to scvotes.gov enough. You can also find your sample ballot. Learn what you need to bring to the polls, just a government-issued photo ID. And again, look at that sample ballot. You can see who's who you'll be voting for, give you some time to research your candidates and issues. scvotes.gov. I don't get paid to say this. Now me, why am I in a Durango? Besides me appreciating a good American-made Hemi motor, casual styling, but sophisticated in its own way. Not quite a GMC though, but still American-made quality. Yes, I'm out and about today talking to voters like I will be throughout this week on this first day of early voting. It's special. It's very special. I've been to Orangeburg. I'm in Darlington, and I'm about to go to Horry County after this, folks. And we have fellow reporters out in the field as well, including Scott Morgan, who was in York County, and Mayon Schechter in Lexington County. All the places sound very busy, folks. Remember, it's day one of early voting. There are multiple days over the next 2 weeks for you to vote. You don't have to do it all on the first day, but I understand your excitement, so do what you need to do. But understand, there's plenty of time. But me, Darlington, off the main drag in the downtown square in the city of Darlington, the county seat, the pearl of the PD, as they call it, there is a small building where the line was long with folks looking to cast their ballots around lunchtime in the county that has become more and more Republican over the years in a reddening PD region. There was a bit of apprehension mixed with excitement on this first day. In fact, I spoke with Jackie Huggins, a retiree from Mechanicsville, who voted early and casually referred to hoping that her ballot would be counted.
I hope it'll go through, especially who I voted for now.
Can I ask you who you voted for?
Sure, Republican.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to go that way. Do you always vote that way?
I always vote that way.
What about with the Senate race with Senator Gerald Malloy? Did you vote for Senator Malloy, or you just voted straight Republican?
Straight Republican. Mm-hmm.
What do you think some of the biggest issues are facing our country right now?
The border. I really do. I think it's the border.
Mm-hmm. Would you, do you see some of that playing out in Darlington County, or how do you think that affects the state?
I think it affects everyone. I really do. Mm-hmm. And all, but we shall see. Mm-hmm. We will see.
What do you think will happen after November 5th, regardless of who wins? Do you have any concerns?
It's going to be a big decision for whoever wins. It really is. Mm-hmm. Because a lot is, you know, going on and everything, and it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about where the country is right now or where it might be going?
Yes, I am.
Miss M. Wright. She didn't want to give me her first name, just her first initial, which is okay. She's an 83-year-old black woman who is retired, and she said I reminded her of her son. And she was also kind enough to acquiesce to my request to speak with me. Even after we first said hello and then she went to go vote, she said, I already said hi to you. What else do you want from me? And I said, well, can we talk? So we did. And we didn't get too specific, but listen to my conversation with Miss M. Wright. And can you tell me who you voted for, Miss Wright?
All of you. Mm-mm.
Well, can I ask you maybe about your experience voting today and what it was like?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you about how you feel about the country right now, where things are, where you want to see them go?
Oh, we have to go farther. We have to do more. But we're going to hang in there.
Do you feel like things are getting better or worse in our country? Or
it's getting better. It has to get better. Everything has to get better.
Can I ask you if you voted for the first black woman as president?
I'll keep that to myself.
Would it be exciting to see that if that happens on November?
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen.
You've seen a lot over your 83 years. Did you ever think you'd see something like this?
Hey, it's 50-50. Because a lot of things I thought I wouldn't see, but I have.
What are your top issues? What are you most concerned about when you think about...
I'm concerned about housing, children education period, things like that, helping people, senior citizens, and reduce housing, new homes and everything.
Frances Richardson wore a red bucket hat with her Greek sorority letters, Delta Sigma Theta, and a sweatshirt that said Delta Voices, Delta Votes. Delta Sigma Theta is part of the Divine Nine of African-American fraternities and sororities like Kappa Alpha Kappa, which counts Vice President Kamala Harris as part of its membership. Richardson wouldn't be specific with me about her vote, but her support, like Ms. Wright's, was clear.
This is a very historic time to be able to vote because we have a female again on the ballot, and that female will represent everyone. She is for everyone, not just me, you, but everyone. And voting is very important. We must go out and vote, not just for the primaries, but for all the votes that come along the voting times. What gets me motivated at the moment is healthcare, especially being of age and knowing that I will be able to get the health care that I need, not just Medicare, but being able to use all of my insurances and also making sure that the economy is thriving. Not saying it's thriving and it's not, but making sure that we're there to assist and help the businesses.
And to see a sorority sister.
Yes,
there.
I'm always talking with my sorority sisters. I just left one, we're on it, that's why I'm here. Because we have to go and help others to go out and vote. Everybody don't have the knowledge, everybody don't have transportation, so we assist where we need it.
When I asked Ms. Richardson about the concern over the black male vote and that enthusiasm people are concerned about, well, she said she preferred not to talk about it on camera and stood by her words of encouraging folks to get out and vote. Democratic Senator Gerald Malloy has represented this area since 2002 and was close with the late Florence Republican Senator Hugh Leatherman, a power player in the State House who wielded the budget's purse strings to the advancement of the often overlooked agrarian region, which has steadily become home to major advanced manufacturing companies from Otis Elevator and GE to an upcoming billion-dollar electric vehicle battery manufacturing plant. But this is Malloy's first election without Leatherman nearby, a force that would also work closely in the Senate, where Leatherman's classic country club Republican approach had been branded as a Republican in name only, or RINO, by the new generation running the State House. Mike Birch is the deputy solicitor in the 6th Circuit, but is the Republican nominee to be solicitor for the 4th Circuit, which encompasses Darlington, Dillon, Chesterfield, and Marble counties, an area that has been getting redder and redder at the local level. Birch was out greeting voters in Darlington, and I asked him about the changes here.
So within the past decade, we've slowly seen it turn Republican, and within the past 4 to 6 years, it's aggressively turned Republican. For example, in Chesterfield County, we had never elected a Republican sheriff until 2022, and I believe he got 57% of down-ballot votes. Of course, that's in a governor's race year, sort of the off year for the president, but we're starting to see a lot of local offices. I think Darlington County has most every office has turned Republican. Treasurer, probate judge, coroner just switched back in the early spring, late winter 2024. So and all the Chesterfield County local officials, clerk of court started it with being elected Republican. Now the sheriff, of course, auditor, treasurer, a lot of your county council people have switched to the Republican Party here, and I'd say the Western PD closest to the Midlands section.
And when you look at that trend, what do you think is driving it? Obviously, you're in law enforcement. You see what's happening maybe here across the state, across the country. Do you feel like a lot of those concerns are being echoed locally when these races down to the smaller ballot races?
Yes. I mean, of course, everybody's looking at the presidential ticket, and that just trickles down all the way to the bottom. With these, of course, in my field, the violent offenders being out on bond and recommitting. And then on the other side, you have, of course, they don't want any bail. They want bail reform. They don't prosecute shoplifters in our major cities. And so a lot of people have seen what effects that has on cities like San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., the liberal cities, as you would probably call them. And so most people I talk to are for common sense, law and order. You do wrong, you should pay the price.
Down in Orangeburg County, South Carolina's long-serving Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn walked into the Vance Senior Center to cast his ballot for the first woman of color to lead a major presidential party. Clyburn donned a South Carolina State University hat, the historical Black university and his alma mater, while greeting many familiar faces and shaking hands as gospel music from a TV in the activity room played. The Senior Center's art room was converted into an early voting location with three machines and is one of three locations in the Democratic-leaning county at the heart of the district that Clyburn has represented since 1993.
Well, I feel real good about doing my part to help maintain this trek toward a more perfect union. I think that any observer of what's been going on in the country recently know our country is at a crossroads. And it's not the first time the country's been there. I get a little bit amused when I hear people talk about it's never been like this before. It has been like this before. In fact, there's nothing that I've ever seen in history that closely aligns itself with the 1876 presidential election than this one. This is moving exactly the way that one moved. And at that time, the system failed. And we ended up with Jim Crow. I'm the ninth African-American serving Congress from South Carolina. And all of that is because of that Jim Crow era that came in after that election. And people who say that we'll get over it, I want to remind them, there's 95 years between number 8 and number 9. Yes, we'll get over it. Do you want to take a century of our children and grandchildren living as my grandparents lived? I don't think so.
Clyburn said he prefers to vote early because it's not always known what could happen come election day, including inclement weather or if anyone has any issues with registration problems that may need to be remedied by November 5th. He even cited some mail-in ballots that had been rejected in Clarendon County that he was made aware of that he says could be cured in time to be counted. That's the lingo for being fixed. But, you know, when you say vote fixing, that doesn't sound good. So curing is the word we use here. Now, record early voting is taking place in our neighboring swing states of Georgia and North Carolina, and it's also kicking off today in Texas, where Clyburn was for the past 2 days campaigning for Representative Colin Allred, a Democrat challenging Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz in an expensive and closely watched race. As for Clyburn's race in the 6th Congressional District, he faces the long-shot Republican challenger Duke Buckner. South Carolina State's homecoming is this weekend, and his advice for young people were to vote for the future they want in 5 years from now and to realize that every vote counts, even in a solid Republican state that will go for former President Donald Trump.
The value of one vote. I get very disturbed when I hear young people tell me my one vote won't matter. But let me tell you a couple of things about one vote. Reconstruction came to an end by one vote. 185 to 184. That's one vote brought an end to Reconstruction. Jim Crow came into being by one vote. A committee vote of 8-7 gave us Jim Crow. One vote throughout history has always mattered. And I say to young people, don't you be that one vote that turned the clock back.
But of course, remember, folks, we have things at the top of the ballot and we got things all the way down at the bottom of the ballot. So it's not all just Republicans. SCVotes.gov, find out who you're voting for. Up in York County, more than 100 voters lined up outside of Baxter Hood Center at York Technical College, where Scott Morgan spoke with voters in a county that borders the swing state of North Carolina. Here's Nicole Carter, who is a regular voter, but is voting in York County for the first time.
Making sure I voted for women's rights. That's crucial this election. And also because with my schedule with our kids, I was like, it's best for me to come out while one kid is at school and I have the baby. But it's really, really important to come out. And I wanted to make sure that we didn't have any other issues like on election day that we weren't able to vote this year.
Nicole Carter's husband, Shane, went out to vote with her and said that he happened to have the day off and wanted to get his voting done with and out of the way early.
Yeah, I was extra motivated to come out this time. I think that we have, do our due diligence this election to have our voices heard and get, you know, what we want as a people, being able to get that accomplished. So it's very important to come out and vote.
What is most important to you?
Most important to me is the people. You know, us getting together and having our voice heard as far as what we want, whether that's lowering taxes or, you know, whatever that's, you know, with the city fixing the roads and things like that.
Eric Goodman told Scott these were his top issues this year.
Border, taxes, world wars. Those are my three big ones.
Trying to avoid a lot of that bad stuff.
Yeah, my wife has direct family in both Ukraine and Russia, and she'd like to see them. So the fact that everything's going on and we've been tossing money at one side, you know, we've done nothing more than perpetuate a war that could have ended very quickly. So, you know, she'd like to see her family. I have family in Israel, so I'd like to see that go back to another 4 years of peace, hopefully. So we'll see what happens.
Now, we've talked about voter and election safety and security recently on this podcast and will continue to do so today and leading up to the election to reinforce to you, our listener, that our elections are in fact safe and secure like they always have been in the modern era. South Carolina Public Radio's Victoria Hansen looks at how Charleston County secures this massive undertaking.
It is a Tuesday morning at the Charleston County Board of Elections new headquarters in North Charleston. And just past the metal detectors and guards, dozens of volunteers are poring over computer screens as part of a lesson on voting.
Okay. Issue ballot. You should hear that sound.
The volunteers are poll workers in training, and there's a lot to learn before they are tested by a divisive presidential election. We've been asked to protect their privacy.
The distrust now in election officials is at an all-time high.
That's Isaac Kramer, the executive director for the Charleston County Board of Elections. He worries about poll workers being harassed, threatened, even assaulted. It happened to him in 2022 when a voter who missed the registration deadline repeatedly threatened to physically attack him.
I had never been through something like that in my whole life. I was shaking.
Kramer was so shaken, he testified before Congress earlier this year.
Hearing to order and good afternoon.
He told lawmakers about a group of people that stalked polling sites in Charleston County 2 years ago, and he read one of their social media posts.
For all of you on the team tomorrow observing the polls, good hunting. You know what you're looking for. We have the enemy on their back foot. Press the attack forward.
A study this summer by the Brennan Center for Justice reveals more than one-third of local election officials nationwide report being abused on the job. Kramer fears this year, the political climate is even hotter.
It's on broil. And it's just one little thing could just...
That's why he's working with Charleston County's counter-threat manager, Lauren Knapp.
Yeah, how big a threat is misinformation?
Huge.
The biggest.
It's the biggest.
Knapp is a former intelligence officer for the Charleston County Sheriff's Office. She later worked for the National Counterterrorism Center in Washington, D.C. Knapp believes debunking misinformation and sharing facts are key to public safety. She says the county has been getting ready for this election much like a storm.
We will be opening our emergency operations center just like it's a hurricane.
She says that puts the county's emergency responders under one roof and in direct contact with its 104 voting precincts. Kramer explains further.
Every single polling place is in a geofence field, meaning if anything is happening anywhere in those surrounding areas, we are hearing it and listening to it.
Kramer and Knapp say they are preparing for every possible scenario they can think of, from social media threats to protests to power outages to, yes, even another hurricane. They're also in touch with federal officials who report what they've seen, including suspicious white powders mailed to polling places.
We have a room that manages that, that mitigates it, that has its own system so that we can continue the vote, so that it doesn't impede the process, so that there's not that doubt cast.
Knapp says they not only want election workers to feel safe, but voters too. Safe and confident the ballot they cast will count. Kramer remembers when his work was relatively peaceful. Now he says threats of violence make it difficult to find poll workers. Many recall election workers being blamed amid claims of a stolen election by former President Donald Trump.
The misinformation that came out of 2020 scared a lot of people. A lot of my long-term serving poll workers said, I'm never doing this again.
Kramer says elections should not evoke fear, but celebration. He grew up with a mother who once dreamed of becoming a U.S. citizen and valued her right to vote.
This is amazing. This is the United States of America. This is your voice. You get to be excited about your voice being heard at the ballot box and don't have anyone take that away from you.
He urges voters to do their part and prepare for the election, now just 18 days away. Early voting begins Monday.
Thank you, Victoria, and thank you, Scott. You can find their reporting on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Always, it's always there. Now we're going national real quick, folks, with Senator Lindsey Graham, who was on NBC News' Meet the Press with Kristen Welker, where he was asked about former President Donald Trump's escalating rhetoric on the campaign trail. And let's just say it got heated in the studio when Welker asked him about former Trump administration officials coming out against the 45th president. Listen to this, and just a warning, there gets to be a lot of crosstalk there at the end.
Let me tell you what retired four-star general Mark Milley, someone who you have praised in the past, has had to say about Donald Trump. Of course, he's Donald Trump's former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He told Bob Woodward in a new book, quote, "No one has ever been as dangerous to this country as Donald Trump. Now I realize he's a total fascist, a fascist to the core. Why shouldn't voters trust Donald Trump's top general on this, Senator?"
He has a right to his opinion. But this is the man who oversaw 20 years of training of the Afghan-Iraqi army that folded like a cheap suit. I like General Milley, but I disagree with him. You know what I fear? I fear four more years of Biden-Harris policy. I fear holding Israel back so they can't win the war they have to win to survive. I fear four more years of holding Ukraine back, four more years of broken borders, four more years of not drilling for oil and gas, four more years of high food prices. The threat to the world is the policies of this administration. To General Milley, you have a right to your opinion, but I don't fear Donald Trump. I fear what's going on in the world today. If you want the world to stay on fire, vote for her. If you want to keep paying high prices for everything it costs to live, vote for her.
But Senator, but you've known General Milley for years. You've said you have deep admiration
wrong.
And total confidence.
I think he's wrong.
John Kelly, his former chief of staff, has said that former President Trump was telling him to go after his opponents repeatedly.
Here he was
telling me that we need to use the FBI and IRS to go after people.
These are Democratic talking points. I think they're wrong.
He's the former chief of staff.
I think they're wrong. I think they're totally wrong. It was Joe Biden who got us out of Afghanistan that led to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It was Kamala Harris, the border czar, that opened up our border to 10 million illegal immigrants running wild, women getting raped and killed, terrorists residing in our backyard. It was their decision to stop energy production, making us more energy independent. It was their decision to abandon Israel at their time of need when it came to weapons.
But, Senator, the U.S. is making more energy than
I think these generals are wrong. But
they worked for Donald Trump.
They worked for former President Trump.
These are former Trump administration officials.
Supporting her, what the hell are you doing? You're supporting the most radical nominee in the history of American politics, the Green New Deal, Medicare for All. She was the last person in the room before Biden decided to withdraw from Afghanistan. She was the border czar. She cast the tie-breaking vote for the Inflation Reduction Act that gives you high prices. What are you doing? You're trying to convince me that Donald Trump's rhetoric is the danger to this country. The danger to this country is the policies of Biden and Harris. Her fingerprints are all over this disaster. And I can't take four more years of this crap.
And on the way out, a tragic story. The Associated Press reports that a South Carolina man was sentenced to life in federal prison last Thursday in the killing of a black transgender woman after the exposure of their secret sexual relationship. U.S. District Judge Sherry Lydon sentenced Daquah Lameek Ritter in federal court in Columbia, making Ritter the first person in the nation convicted of killing someone based on their gender identity. Ritter was convicted in February of a hate crime for the shooting death of Dime Doe in 2019. Prosecutors asked for a life sentence without parole based on federal sentencing guidelines. Although federal officials have previously prosecuted hate crimes based on gender identity, the cases never reached trial. A Mississippi man received a 49-year prison sentence in 2017 as part of a plea deal after he admitted to killing a 17-year-old transgender woman. There is no wind-down section, folks. As you can tell, we have a very big episode, so we are sacrificing the wind-down for that. But I promise you, we will be hearing from AT soon. And if you really want to see the guy, you got to come on out to our live taping October 30th at 6 p.m. at ETV Studios in Columbia. Please come see us. Register at southcarolinapublicradio.org/live-lead, and we will see you there. And thanks, as always, for listening to the pod. You guys can show us your appreciation by either leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, sending us a voicemail at 803-563-7169, or doing all those and coming to see us at the live lead taping in Columbia October 30th. Yes, please do that. And you can always stay up to date with the latest news on sceetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
This was maybe the fourth time I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
But my glife.
Glife.
But
thank you.